Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing? Yes, this is Monday. This is Monitor Wrestling, and yes, I am here to bring you some wrestling talk tonight on this October 27, 2025, the last Monday in October, because next Monday will be in the month of November. Yes, the Playmakers in the building. Kuma King, still not feeling well, but he'll be back. Gotta get him right. Don't want to make it worse than what it is. So he's chilling in the background tonight. And I'm going solo tonight. So tonight, gonna backly go back a couple of weeks because Wrestle Dream happened 2 weeks ago and we didn't do a show to cover that. So want to make sure you know what happened on Wrestle Dream on the AEW side and the fallout that happened. We're gonna get into what happened on NXT Halloween Havoc that happened this past Saturday. And then, speaking of Saturdays, this Saturday is Saturday night's main event out in Salt Lake City. That's something we're going to get into. Shout out to Daniel Berry Sports for checking in. What's going on, Daniel? Thank you for checking in. Tonight, let's begin with AEW. Normally, we'll do NXT and TNA, but we're going to start with AEW because AEW with 2 weeks behind with AEW because they had a Wrestle Dream. So we're just going to go through the results of Wrestle Dream and then we're going to go through the follow-up what took place this past week on Dynamite. FTR took on Jet Speed. FTR defeated Jet Speed to begin the night. Jamie Hayter and Dakayla took on each other. Jamie Hayter came out victorious in that one. Celebrate with Quinn Amanada, Sky Blue, Julia Hart watched from the stage because something else is going on with the women's division, which I will get into a little later. Jurassic Express back together for the first time. Jack Perry and Luchasaurus back together for the first time. They took on the Young Bucks. Jurassic Express got the dub. It was a great match. They put on a whole other match, but shout out to Jack Perry and Luchasaurus getting the dub, being back together for the first time. No issues whatsoever. And I'm going to give credit to the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks are taking on this role of this little like jobber role here. They're doing pretty good well with it. Putting other people over, putting other talent over. That's good to see. We had a Tornado Trios match with the Hurt Syndicate and the Demand. And I still to this day don't know why they are called the Demand. It doesn't make no sense to me. For those of you who don't know who the Demand is, that is Ricochet, Bishop Khan, and Tolo Longa. That's the Demand. Still don't know why they call it that, but that's what they're going with. This month-long rivalry between these six gentlemen here finally come to a head here to where we had to figure out, and there's Kuma King right there, terrible name. I hate that name. I really do. I need AEW to work on their tag team names. That's what I need AEW to do. Somebody needs to work on the tag team names for AEW because the tag team names they be coming up with does not work for whatever reason. But MVP, Bobby Lashley, Shelton Benjamin for the Hurt Syndicate. This long rivalry has come to a head. And this is where we need to find a winner. And that winner was the Hurt Syndicate. They came on top. Does this rivalry end here? Or do the Demand come back and make some noise? But for right now, the Hurt Syndicate, they're right where they should be. Getting the dub, fighting their way back on top. Good win. From there, TNT championship match. Mark Briscoe going against the champ Kyle Fletcher. And a match where they made you to believe that Mark Briscoe had the opportunity to capture that TNT championship. But it was not to be happened. Kyle Fletcher retains the TNT championship. had some moments where you looked at in disbelief because Kyle Fletcher threw everything but the kitchen sink at Mark Briscoe and couldn't put him down until the final seconds where a turnbuckle for a win. If I'm actually thinking about this correctly, he did two brain buskles, with the last one being onto a turnbuckle, which sealed the deal. You know what? Not actually a bad way to finish the match. If you did everything you could and you couldn't finish the match, you got to get very innovative. So a brain bustle on the turnbuckle, I'm with it. I'm with it. But I don't think Mark Briscoe's done here. I don't think he's done. I think he wants another shot. Speaking of another shot, let's run it back for the AEW Women's Championship, where Timeless Toni Storm is getting her rematch with the new champ, Chris Statlander. This was a physical match. A match where two ladies do haymakers at each other. And you wanted to know, was Toni Storm going to get back on top right away? Or would we have some time away from Toni Storm? Well, the latter happened because Chris Statlander retained the women's championship over Toni Storm. So that means Toni Storm might not be around for the AEW Women's Championship picture for quite some time. After the match, however, Miss Monet, Mercedes Monet herself, came out to interrupt the proceedings of the match to order the loser, Toni Storm, out of the match, in which Chris Statlander was not appreciative of. But could that be a teaser for an upcoming match between the two, as Mercedes Monet is racking up championships after championships after championships? Speaking of which, reason why she interrupted the post-match proceedings of the Women's AEW Championship match, because her championship match take place where she did a TBS Championship Open Challenge. And who accepted this open challenge was the interim Ring of Honor Women's Television Champion, Maria Sharapova. At the same time, Sharapova put the Ring of Honor Women's Television Championship on the line as well. So what turned into a open challenge for the TBS Championship became a champion versus championship match, winner take all. But as most matches with AEW, they put on good shows, and this one was no different. Both ladies put on quite a spectacle of a match, into which Mercedes Moné with the moneymaker tried to put it away, but Cheryl Carl was able to get to the ropes. But a backslide a little later on by Mercedes Moné, she defeats Maria Sharapova, and now Mercedes Moné can now add the Ring of Honor Championship to it. This woman has, I think, 11, maybe 12 belts now. She has a lot of belts, which is nice for Mercedes Moné to have all these belts, but there's no substance with these championships. That's what we are missing. Like, I love Mercedes Moné. I love her. I need substance for you to have all these titles. There's no substance for all these titles that you have. There's no substance with the TBS title that you have. There's no substance. And that's what we are missing when it comes to Mercedes Moné. Yes, you broke a 3-decade-old record held by the Ultimate Dragon, who held 10 belts at the same time. You were like at 11, 12 belts. But I'm missing the substance. I'm missing the substance of these titles from Mercedes Moné. You know, I need the meat and potatoes with these title reigns, and I'm not getting it. Now, cool. Whenever you can tell me in the chat, or you can, whenever you come back to the show when you're fully healthy, maybe you might be able to provide the substance that I'm looking for. But I don't see any substance with all these titles that she has. That's just me. But you are the force of reasoning when it comes to what AEW does. So I will lean to you in this regard if there are substance that I'm overlooking. But I'm not seeing any substance from my perspective. Okay, that's just me. I'm not seeing any substance. And I need to see substance with Mercedes Monet. From one championship to another, we head to the... And there you go. Cool says there's no substance. So we just out here winning titles left and right. That doesn't work for me. I need some substance with these title reigns. Like, I need people to invest in these title reigns. But if you don't have nothing, you have no substance for them to invest in, you just winning titles. But from one championship title to another one, we had the AEW World Tag Team titles between Brodino against Takeshka and Okada. And per usual, probably one of the best matches of the night thus far, in a very long night. Go ahead and tell you, this show, WrestleDream, was 4.5 hours. 4.5 hours. Okay. But this match would probably be up for match of the night for WrestleDream. Brodino retained their title over Okada and Takeshita. Very, very great match. The champs took advantage with Brodino, delivering a 21-gun suplex to Okada for the win. Which, hey, you know, I think it's what they second title defense. So, you know, they still early in their title defense. So let them build on some more. Let them keep working their way up the ladder. So a good win for Brodino, keeping the AEW World Tag Team titles. The AEW Championship on the men's side was up for grabs as Heyman out of pace defended against Samoa Joe. This was a hell of a match. This was a very physical match. Two guys that are not new to each other. And if I remember correctly, it was a flurry of buttshot lariats from the champ to put Samoa Joe down for the count as Adam Heyman on the page retains the AEW championship. That, it was crazy. He just kept doing lariat butt shots until Joe finally fell. Joe is still good at his craft, man. Samoa Joe is still good at his craft. I like to see him be a champion one more time. He might not capture the AEW championship. TNT championship, I would not mind that. I mean, Joe is good at his craft. But that was not the main event. The main event was the I Quit match between Darby Allin and Jon Moxley. Okay. So the last time we was on the show and Kuma Kane was talking about this match being a I Quit match. Told Kuma Kane, I don't know how you make either one of them quit, because Darby Allin's a darn daredevil himself and Jon Moxley is crazy out of this goddamn world, so I don't even know how you even get one of them to say I quit. But somebody has to say I quit, so. Before I get to all the uncomfortable stuff, Sting made an appearance. Sting made an appearance. I did not expect Sting to show up. I thought you was retired, Sting. Make up your mind. Oh, this is just a one-off. I hope this is a one-off. But nevertheless, that was very confusing to see Sting. Man, I was on the fence. I don't know. Somebody got to say I quit. I just don't know who's going to say I quit. But we, this match here was just, this match pretty much showed every way to have to do attempted murder. That's pretty much the best way I can describe this match. Every way that you can do attempted murder. They even included drowning a man in water. One thing I can say about AEW, they are not afraid to push the limits to what people can watch and see in matches. So, but how did John Moxley say I quit? Well, Darby Allin got the bat from Sting and he started knocking home runs on John Moxley's body with the bat. He delivered a scorpion death drop. Then he did the coffin drop. And by him doing the coffin drop, which led to him putting on the scorpion deathlock while being around the broken glass from the aquarium, and then John Moxley said the words, I quit. Drowning, glass, flamethrowers. Oh my god, this match was very graphic and brutal. And that's how Wrestle Dream went off the air. Which leads us to what happened, the fallout, where Dynamite took place last Wednesday. And we kicked off Dynamite with the World Trio Championship with the Ops going against the Hurt Syndicate, in which the Ops, which is Samoa Joe, Powerhouse Hobbs, and Sabu, retained the title of MVP, Shelton Benjamin, and Bobby Lashley. By submission, by the way. By submission. Things happen. But if they're going to bring in a new member, it's about time to bring in a new member. So that MVP don't have to be in the ring. But we should see how that goes. Flaming the AEW flag around. Darby Allin says he is not done with the Death Riders despite beating John Moxley in the I Quit match. And the crowd is with him. The AEW fans are with Darby Allin in this war against the Death Riders. So my question that I'm pondering is, is anybody going to join Darby Allin in defeating or in this war against the Death Rider? That is my question. So if you have any names out there, and one, I don't need to hear Sting. I need Sting to be retired. Okay. But does anybody on the AEW roster, anybody that's coming into the AEW roster, that can join Darby Allin in this war against the Death Riders? Or is Darby Allin a one-man soldier going into a death match? I think that's a fair question to ask. A fatal four-way tag team match. Megan Bain, Penelope Ford teaming together against Jamie Hager and Queen Amanada against Willow Nightingale and Haley versus Sky Blue and Julia Hart, which is very interesting and intriguing. But as my co-hosts say, a lot of fronteress of cakes in this match. Cakes everywhere in this one. And if Michaels was picking the team that he picked will have won. That'll be Jamie Hayter and Queen Amanada winning this match. And with that match, they had the right to choose their first opponents for the Women's World Tag Team Championship Tournament because AEW has introduced a tag team title in the women's division. At some point, I got to see what them belts look like if they even reveal the belts, but we'll get into that tournament a little further down the line in a minute. I come up with the cakes early. Mercedes Moné wanted to have a title celebration for every single title she has. And yes, it is 12 belts. She has 12 belts. Renee was getting ready to interview Mercedes Moné where she arrived and she had a constituent of guys, each one holding one of her 12 belts as she made her entrance. And as we were getting forward into the interview, it got interrupted by Harley Cameron and Chris Statlin there. To which, we have an idea of what's going to happen. So, at Full Gear, matter of fact, Wayne is Full Gear, by the way, before I continue on. Live research here as I look up Miss. Let's see when this AEW Full Gear. So, AEW Full Gear would be on the 22nd of November. So, roughly 4 weeks from now. We will have the AEW Women's Champion, Chris Statlin, putting her title on the line against Money Moné, Mercedes Moné, as she tries to add a 13th belt to her repertoire, being the main belt of the company she works for in AEW. So we have 4 weeks to build this matchup. So cool, you got some time to get it together. Action back in the ring. John Moxley, coming off his I Quit loss to Darby Allin, went up against Kyle O'Reilly. And let's just say this match ended in a disqualification as John Moxley was disqualified and Kyle O'Reilly gets the win. However, I don't think Kyle O'Reilly was thinking he was going to win that way, but John Moxley lost it. He crashed out. The Death Rider came. But the Death Riders are falling on hard times all of a sudden. And why do I say that? Because the very next match was the rest of the Death Riders going against Mark Briscoe, Orange Cassidy, and Roderick Strong. And Briscoe, Cassidy, and Strong defeated the Death Riders of Yuta, Garcia, and Castagnoli by pinfall. The Death Riders are going through hard times. We could be teasing some dysfunction here for the Death Riders. Or they could be doing what WWE does with Judgment Day. They tease it, and all of a sudden, months later, they are still there together having fun. Mark Briscoe, he wants one more match for the TNT Championship. We'll see if he get it anytime during this one or at Full Gear. We shall see. But the more important thing of this segment is that the bracket for the AEW Women's World Tag Team Championship were announced. Jamie Hayter and Queen Amanada, they get the face off against Julia Hart and Sky Blue. Willow Nightingale and Holly Cameron will face off against Mercedes Moné and Athena. Megan Bain and Penelope Ford will be going against Anna Jay and Ty Conti. And then timeless Toni Storm will be a part of this tournament. Her and Maria Sharapova will take on Alex Winslow and Rio. I actually might want to watch that tournament. I think I want to watch that tournament. To crown the first ever women's tag team champions in AEW. I think I might have an interest in that one. I know my co-host does. But I think I might have an interest in that one. The Unified Championship matches was on the line on Dynamite as Okada defended against Bandino. Okada retained by pinfall to retain the Unified Championship. Very physical match, very entertaining match, electrical. Like, that's how you end a show with a match like that. That's how you end a weekly show. That was very entertaining to watch. And shout out to Okada to retain his championship in that. So now we are caught up with all the AEW stuff from 2 weeks ago with WrestleDream and what happened on Dynamite. We're going to take a break here. And then when we come back, what happened at Halloween Havoc for NXT? Find out when we come back from break.
Rams fans all around the world.
It's a beautiful thing to be a Rams fan right now. Stafford's back. We will see about Cup. And running back Kerryon Williams to return.
Lend me your ears. Or should I say lend Playmaker your ears. As he breaks down week by week everything in the Los Angeles Rams canon.
Number 99, Aaron Donald. Can't wait for 2029 to come. To know that you are going in the Hall of Fame and it should be first ballot, no questions asked.
Join the Playmaker as he breaks down everything Los Angeles Rams style in Ramily Talk on the Playmakers Blog Network YouTube channel and where you can find podcasts.
And welcome back here on Monitor Wrestling. I am going solo tonight because my co-host, he is not feeling well, but he's back there producing the show right now. NXT Halloween Havoc took place this past Saturday. Interesting pay-per-view, by the way. Very interesting pay-per-view. Some shocking moments took place in this pay-per-view, by the way. But we kept off the festivities with Javon Evans teaming with the TNA X Division champion Leon Slater to take on Mr. Ingrana and La Paca from AAA. Very great way to kick off Halloween Havoc, by the way, I must say. This is a very good match. Interesting that you have two teams with four baby faces all around going against each other. Very rare that you see this happening. Very rare you had that happening. A lot of interesting things took place, but in the end, Javon Evans and Leon Slater, they got the dub in their first time teaming together on a stage like this. So that's a good way to kick started with them and help build them up, because I'm pretty sure at some point they're gonna run a dark stake and they're gonna have to be able to be believable against Dark State at some point in time. And yes, Dark State is still around. They call it a day of the dead with the North American Championship off of grass as Ethan Page defending against Dr. Juana Jr. of AAA. Ethan Page wore face paint. I did not expect Ethan Page to wear some face paint for this match, but he wore some face paint for this match. And then Ethan Page does what Ethan Page does. Very, very disrespectful things. He ripped the mask of Dr. Juana Jr. He ripped the mask. He didn't rip it off. But he ripped apart the mask. And of course, Ethan Page retained the North American Championship. But the disrespect that Ethan Page does, the reason why he's very good at what he does, because he's very disrespectful. And people can't stand it. But you have to beat him, though. So Ethan Page, congratulations. You tricked me with the face paint and you continue to do your stuff. More power to you. So after the match, we went backstage and we saw Miles Bourne in the back talking with Abel about getting a chance to fight Josh Briggs. And then Trevion Heist came in and he wants to be the one to have a fight with Josh Briggs, to the point where Ava came out and said, how about neither one of you fight Josh Briggs yet? How about y'all two fight each other on Tuesday, which would be happening tomorrow? It would be the former No Catch crew going against each other in Trevion Heights and Miles Bourne on Tuesday. Should be a very interesting match to watch, to be honest. Very interesting. Now, our first title match from Halloween Havoc took place where the women's North American, women's North American Championship take place, as Soruko, who was injured and couldn't defend her title, and Zarya asked to take her spot for this match. And Soruko said yes to it. So Zarya defending on behalf of Soruko, the women's North American Championship, against Blake Monroe. I was intrigued to see how this match was going to go, because depending on the results of this match, I thought would give me a leeway into which direction they are going with all three ladies. And to be honest, I still don't know which direction they can go with this, to be honest. But Monroe kicked the crutch away from Soruko and she fell. Zarya landed some shots on Blake Monroe, threw her back in the ring, and then they went to check on Soruko, which was a mistake on her part, because she ended up taking a DDT on the outside, and then she took a future shot DDT inside the ring. And ladies and gentlemen, the glamour one, Blake Monroe, has her first WWE title. That would be the NXT Women's North American Championship, as she is now the winner. And it's going to be interesting to see how this goes with Soruka and Zarya. Will this drive a rift between them? It'll be interesting to see how Blake Monroe does with her first title in WWE. Could we have a rematch, so to speak, between Soruka and Blake Monroe? Because technically she was the champion but didn't defend it. Could Zarya find her way to get a rematch for that title? Because she was the one that got beat. I still don't know which way they can go, but it's going to be an interesting look at. Hello to my sister who is in the chat. And of course, Kuma Kane got to come with the case, even though he's not even on screen. And I just feel like you're spelling cake with a K, not a C. And Blakey Cupcakes, really? Blakey Cupcakes? Well, since we're on the subject of Kates, the TNA Knockouts champion, she was watching backstage, and then Jordynne Grace showed up, dressed up as Daffy from Scooby-Doo. Those of you who know about Scooby-Doo and Daffy. Not Daffy, Velma. My bad. Velma, dressed up as Velma, with the glasses and everything. Orange shirt, the skirt, and the glasses. She did the whole thing. She already dressed for Halloween already. And Halloween is actually this Friday coming that past Saturday. Had some words backstage, and Jordynne Grace slapped Kalani Jordan. Which tells me that at some point, Kalani's next title defense will be coming to the Juggernaut. And when that happens, I want to see how they book this match. Because in a real world, there's no way Kalani is beating Jordynne Grace. So I want to see how they book this match, and I want to see how they let Kalani Jordan retain the title, because I believe she's going to retain the title. I just need to see how they're going to do it. And do it the way that I can say, okay, that's a good way of doing it. Because in any world, and even my co-host can admit to this, there's no world where Kalani Jordan is beating Jordynne Grace in the ring. So I need to see how they're going to make sure that Kalani Jones retains this title. Speaking of world titles, from TNA to NXT, the Women's NXT Championship is on the line, was on the line, as Jordynne Grace went up against Tatum Paxley. Now, if you didn't watch this match, and if you didn't know what was going on, you gave Tatum Paxley no chance in the world of winning this match. Because, like, NXT is loving the fatal influence aspect of it, the calling, and Tatum got the number one contendership because she kind of outmaneuvered her own partner, Easy Thane. And yeah, and the Colin, we still don't know what we want to do with them. So you might get in Tatum passing no chance in the world. That's if you weren't paying attention. And then leading up to the match, Tatum passing, we got to talk on the mic against JC Jane and sounded very good. It was very inspiring. People was behind it. Okay, we may have something here. Or just gassing the fans up and whatnot. While this match was going, the Colin and the other two members of Fatal Influence both were ejected from ringside. Okay. Then the Colin decided to show right back up as we get close to the end of the match. Fatal Influence jumped on the guys' backs. Easy Dane came from the other way, grabbed the NXT Women's title. And we don't know if she was aiming for Tatum Paxley. We don't know if that was part of the plan. We don't know. But from looking at it, it might have looked like... There we go. It looked like Easy Dane might have been going for Tatum Paxley, but she and him getting caught by JC Jane. Tatum Paxley catches JC Jane. And all of a sudden, the crazy one, Tatum Paxley, is the new NXT Women's Champion. That's right. Tatum Paxley is the new Women's Champion. Beanie Boone's in the building. And, hey. I'm just keeping it. I'm just saying. We don't know for sure, but me and Beanie, we on the same wavelength here. Because if you notice after the match where the rest of the Cullen was celebrating Tatum Paxley, you looked at Easy Dane, you was like, somebody got some jealousy in her eyes there. I don't think Easy Dane is really too fun of Tatum Paxley winning that title before her. Just throwing that out there, you know. It's not. Let's just say it's not all the roses with the ladies of the calling. Let's just put it like that. All right. Cool. Try not to be discussed. Well, I'm going to go where next. But we had the Broken Rules match for the NXT Tag Team Championships where the Broken Hardys defending the NXT Championship against, well, the team they got it from, Dark State. And yes, Dark State's still a team. They're still around. And as this match was going, anyway, in a broken match, there's pretty much no rules in the match. It's pretty much an ODK match. Anything goes in a broken rules match with the Hardys. And with that being said, that plays right into the hands of Dark State because it's for them and only two Hardys. And we both know, all of us know, the Hardys are going towards the end of their careers and Dark State is pretty much at the beginning of their careers. So, Lennox and Griffin defeated the Hardys and they, in the NXT Tag Team Championships, are back in the hands of Dark State. So, title reign number two for the four gentlemen in Dark State. Which was very interesting now that I look back at it. So you had Dark State lose to the Hardys at the showcase just to win them back at Halloween Havoc. interesting move there. That's a very interesting move. I don't know how y'all feel about it, but that's an interesting move there. And being I'm with you, that women's championship match between JC Jane and Tana Paz, that was a must-see match. That was a great match. A striking ending match, too, but because I don't think a lot of people had Tana Paz winning that title. But hey, a shock for a shock. That brings us to the main event of Halloween Havoc. NXT Championship, Ricky Saints defending against Trick Williams. And I think right now Trick Williams has the best entrance going on in WWE right now. So Cool says the Hardys won that won the belts only to defend it against the retiring Dudleys. Sometimes what they are doing with TNA and NXT kind of don't make sense at times, but it is what it is. We got to take the good with the bad, ain't that right? You got to take the good with the bad. Despite all the antics from Trick Williams, the crowd is still hyped with that entrance. They still love chanting whoop that trick when Trick Williams comes out. So right now, I think Trick Williams probably has the best entrance in WWE going forward right now. And whatever he gets to the main roster, because I got a feeling that might be sooner than later. Let's see if the main crowd will be following suit and be behind Trick Williams like that and saying whoop that trick. This was a strange match, shall I say? This match was slow and methodical at times. Then you had flurries, but it's like there was no rhythm to the match for this one. Out of sorts at times, but you know. Ricky Saints did enough to retain the title. You know, Ricky Saints, a couple of DDTs to win the match, you know, because the absolute one didn't work for against Trick. But hey, congratulations to Ricky Saints on retaining the title. Beanie Boone says, my honest opinion, the Hardys need to sit it down, but I get it. They need some money. Sound like everybody right about now. I think everybody needs some money. But to me, the main event felt a little bit flat between Trick Williams and Ricky Saints. Felt a little flat. It's not kind of how you... think the ending could have been better, but hey, Ricky Saints got through it. He retained the title. We'll see what's next with Trick Williams. Does he get called up to the main roster? Does Ricky Saints and Trick Williams want it back? What does Obo Femi fit in this? We don't know. But Blake Monroe winning the Women's North American Championship. Tana Paxton becoming the new NXT Women's Championship. And then you had Dark State becoming the new NXT Tag Team Champion. So you had three title changes at Halloween Havoc. Ethan Page retained the North American Championship. And Ricky Saints retained the NXT World Championship. And that's how this portion of NXT goes to tonight's show. Another commercial break, and then when we come back, all roads lead to Salt Lake City and Saturday night's main event to kick off the month of November.
We'll be back. Hey, Eagles fan, join my man Cool McCain and a host of others as they break down every single game every single week in an objective manner. And also from a fan's perspective as well. Remember, this cast feels just like you. Nobody likes you. And you don't care. Fly, Eagles, fly. Eagles Elite Podcast. Every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on YouTube and other podcast outlets. Whether it's news, the largest egg producer finds bird flu in chickens at a Texas plant. Weather, devastating tornadoes rip through the heart of the United States. Inspiration, a breast cancer survivor completed the journey of chemotherapy and now begins a future one of matrimony. Or sports, Michael Jordan is shown on a photo with Diddy. LeBron James has a video extolling the virtues of a Diddy party. This has been yet another Beating a Dead Horse presentation. We got you covered. BS3 Network proudly presents The Morning Shift with Cole Johnson. Live every weekday morning beginning April 29th at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central. Whether it's the men's college game,
the way that this season has been going, anything is possible.
The women's college game,
and how passionate Angel Reese was at that press conference. They got their mojo now.
The WNBA.
AJ wasn't around, Twitter 1-2, followed by Brittany Griner, Aaliyah Boston, Jackie Young.
Or the NBA.
The Lakers had a 0.8 chance of winning. And then what happened in the fourth quarter? LeBron James by himself outdid the Clippers.
You will get any and all of the information right at your fingertips or your earlobes. Join the Playmaker as he breaks down all things basketball in Shooting Lights Out on the Playmaker's blog, network, YouTube channel, and where you can find podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Monster Wrestling. The Playmaker here riding solo today. Whenever you get a chance, check out the latest episode of Shooting Lights Out with me and Coach Johnson. Got into the NBA scandal, and also we also recap opening week. Benny asked a very good question. When do you think Trick Williams is coming to the main roster? But do you think he's ready for it? So I can see him coming sooner rather than later because of the injuries and the non-injuries that's going on with the roster right now. So I seen reports of we could see Obafemi and Trick Williams names in the hat of coming to the main roster sooner than later to help fill some voids on the roster on Raw and SmackDown. I think SmackDown might be the primary target for this, with probably some going to Raw. And is Trick Williams ready to, I'm gonna be honest with you on this one. I think if you bring him up there, let me see what he's like in a month. Because I can say he's not ready, then I could be completely wrong that he's ready. I have to see what they do with him. And it's probably about to take about a month. About a good month to see if they are booking Trick Williams in a correct manner, or are they just doing what they usually do, like Carmella Hayes and people like that. But I want to see what it looks like if they bring him up, what he looks like in a month time. Okay. Speaking of which, Monday Night Raw, the fallout from the shocking previous Monday Night Raw when it ended with Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed taking out the now former World Heavyweight Champion Seth freaking Rollins. Which we actually can confirm that he is out with the injury. He has shoulder surgery that was successful. And the reason he had to have shoulder surgery, because if you go back to Crown Jewel, when he did that coast to coast, instead of doing it with his feet, he did it with his head. He landed on his shoulder the wrong way, which is the reason why we don't see Seth Rollins. So they had to change plans, and which is why. To answer the question that I answered, Benny, is because now they had to switch plans. Now they had to scrap what they had going for War Games, because Seth Rollins was supposed to lead a division into War Games. Now that's not going to happen because Seth Rollins is out with injury. A legit injury this time. He's not faking. This is a legit injury this time. I can confirm this is legit. Cool is saying they're going to bring back Trick Mello game. If he's going to SmackDown, I can see that working. And plus, Trick and Miz is going at each other, which is very entertaining for me for selfish reasons. Beanie also says, I think they're bringing him up around Warrior Rumpa night. We're not that far away. I mean, Saturday is the month of November, and then you're talking, what, 2 more months after that? We're going to hit January. It's pretty much the road to WrestleMania as soon as you hit January and going into the Royal Rumble. So it's going to be interesting how what they do when they bring up Trick and Obafemi and Tony D'Angelo, which they might be already bringing up Tony D'Angelo, by the way. But back to Monday Night Raw. So we kicked out with Adam Pearce officially stripping Seth Rollins of the world title after the Vision showed up with the world title because Bronson Reed had it. And it kind of made Adam Pearce look like a fool by making him saying please and all that other stuff. So we're having a battle royal to determine who will face CM Punk for the World Heavyweight Champion, the vacant World Heavyweight Championship, because Adam Pearce says CM Punk earned the right to fight for that title, so we're going to find him an opponent for that title, which is good. Our first matchup was for the, speaking of championships, the World Tag Team Champions, as JD Madonna and Finn Balor have defended the title against AJ Styles and Dragon Lee, and the reason why they had to is because what Adam Pearce and AJ Styles did to Dominic Mysterio the week prior was just dirty. That was just dirty. The man was like, why am I the only one defending my title? I'm the workers around here. And then AJ Styles was like, oh, you're not right. He's right. Maybe Finn Balor and JD Dunn could put them tag team titles online. And Adam Pearce was like, Dom, that's a great idea. And Dom was not even thinking about his team defending them titles. That was the first thing from his mind. But they using that as the fact that since he opened his mouth, they had to defend their titles. To which we have new World Tag Team Champions. AJ Styles and Dragon Lee are now the new World Tag Team Champions. And Judgment Day is down to two titles because they both are held by Dirty Dominic Mysterio. I'm looking forward to seeing how this storyline continues to go because cool, correct me if I'm wrong, but if I remember correct, I think we teased breakups of the Judgment Day for like probably what 7 different times and they still haven't broken up yet.
If my math is mathing correctly, just asking, because it's like they keep trying to do distinctions and whatnot, and all of a sudden, all right, he said don't trust it, because I'm just like, This is a continuing thing. We're going to continue to plant seeds of dysfunction, and then all of a sudden there is no dysfunction. Honestly, if they bring Liv back, is she even going to be with Judgment Day again, or is she going to be on her own? Because I'm starting to get that question now. That question started happening, I think, about 2, maybe 3 weeks ago. I never said it on the show yet until now, but I've been thinking about, is they even going to bring Liv back to be with the Judgment Day? They not listen to fans, so they don't win. Pretty much you're saying Finn's the de facto leader of the group. That's pretty much you're saying. Finn's the de facto leader of the group. They listen to Finn, things work. And they don't listen to Finn, Dominic. They don't work. That's been what you're saying. Speaking of Dominic, he had to defend the Intercontinental Championship against Rusev because Rusev won his rematch. And yet again, Penta gets involved. Him and Rusev get into it. Dominic takes advantage of it. And Dominic Mysterio is still the Intercontinental Champion. At some point, I'm getting a triple threat match. WWE, when do you want to have this triple threat match so we can go ahead and get this over with? It's gonna be dirty Dominic Mysterio defending against defending against Penta and Rusev. Just go ahead and give it. Matter of fact, why don't you just go ahead and make that for Saturday night's main event? Go ahead and make that match for Saturday night's main event, okay? That way we have nothing but title matches for Saturday night's main event. All matches on Saturday night's main event in Salt Lake City will be straight title matches. Can we just do that and get that over with? It's gonna be a triple threat match. It's coming. It's too much shenanigans happening between these three gentlemen for it not to be a triple threat match down the line. I'm just saying. And Benny agrees with me. Just go ahead and give us the triple threat match and get it over with. Whoever wins, wins. We don't even care who wins. Just go ahead and give us the triple threat match between the three. And whoever wins the title, wins the title. It is what it is. And mind if I win, it's Donovan Mysterio defending that other title, the Triple Crown World Championship. He needed to defend that too at some point. Speaking of defending. Women's Intercontinental Championship match, as Maxine Dupri challenges Becky Lynch for the Intercontinental Championship on the women's side in her hometown of Sacramento. And cool what we always say about a challenger in their hometown going for a championship. It never works. It doesn't work. Maxine Dupri won the match. She won by disqualification, though. You know what that means? Yay, Maxine, you won. But Becky Lynch is still the champion. So, in other words, a big fat you won the match, Maxine, but you don't have the championship. So did you really win? But I will say this: Maxine Dupri is looking better in the ring. She's getting better in the ring. I will give Maxine that she's getting better in the ring. Oh, Benny, I'm gonna get back to that question. Hold on to that question. I'm gonna get back to that question because I will be talking SmackDown. I still got about 20 minutes to go. Sticking with the women, more cakes for Akuma Kane. The new Women's World Champion, Stephanie Vaquera, in a non-title one-on-one match with Roxanne Perez of the Judgment Day. There was a double kiss delivered to Roxanne Perez. So everybody's happy on that one. Stephanie Vaquera did beat Roxanne Perez. So everybody's happy with that. And then Raquel Rodriguez got involved after the match and started beating up. And then you can look, but you can't touch. Nikki Bella comes to make the rescue. And unfortunately for me and my bet, I kind of looked ahead and kind of figured that was actually happening when I figured out that was the way that was going to go, that Nikki Bella was going to be the savior of Stephanie Vaquera in this one. I was like, okay, somebody else doing this. Okay. Thank God for the devil's kiss. Benny, me and you, we on the same wavelength tonight, buddy, because Stephanie Vaquera is the truth. I love Stephanie Vaquera. Which brought me to Vince Russo, do me a favor and shut the hell up. I'm getting sick of you talking about Stephanie Vaquera and the way that you've been talking about Stephanie Vaquera, okay? I enjoy Stephanie Vaquera. I enjoy the fact that she doesn't know English that well, but she tries her best to talk English and that she does work in the ring. She is not flashy. She is about her business and winning. That's it. And that's why I love Stephanie Vaquera so much. Cool, you can have your shot at Vince Russo next week. And I can see the flow to you. As a matter of fact, I'll probably get you to right off the bat to say whatever you want to say about Vince Russo. Hey, see? She has star written all over her. Now, here's what happened backstage as we get close to the main event thing in the Battle War. And Beanie Boone says she keeps the main event thing the main. She keeps the main thing, which is what I love so much. She keeps the main. She's not a. She be genuine to people, to her coworkers. She puts on a show for the crowd. She wrestles in the ring, and that's it. La Premiere. But what you didn't know backstage, because I asked when we make the announcement about the Battle Warrior, Adam Pearce took the Vision out of the Battle Warrior. So Paul Heyman had to come to Adam Pearce's office to try to get the Vision back into the bottom warrior. And you know what they say, an eye for an eye. Adam Pearce made Paul Heyman say please, and he still denied a Vision to get in the bottom warrior. So there's no Bron Breakker. There's no Bronson Reed in this battle warrior that I'm going to get to. I'm going to get into. But you know what? Paul Heyman flipped the script on the Vision. Very good, by the way. He was telling him when he brought Brock Lesnar into the WWE, Brock Lesnar listened to Paul Heyman, and then at that time, Brock Lesnar became the youngest champion in WWE when he beat The Rock at SummerSlam. When he teamed with CM Punk, CM Punk listened to Paul Heyman, and CM Punk had one of the longest title reigns in modern wrestling at the time. When Roman Reigns teamed with Paul Heyman, then he had the longest title reign in modern wrestling. We all know that, 3.5 years with the Bloodline as the undisputed champion. And, you know, Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker say, you know what? I got a lot of learning to do. And also say I got a lot of people to break. Spearing and Tsunami. So be on the lookout as we get closer to the Saturday Night's main event and then we get closer to Survivor Series. That division led by Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed, they might be starting spearing people in half and Tsunami people into hospitals. Just be on the lookout for that. Just saying. That brings us to the main event, which is the Battle Royal to determine who will face CM Punk at Saturday night's main event. You had Rusev, Ivan, Grayson Waller, Kofi Kingston, Dona Mysterio, Finn Balor, JD Madonna, Akira Tozawa, Otis, Grande Americano, Penta, The Uso, Jimmy NJ, LA Knight, AJ Styles, Dragon Lee, and Sheamus. CM Punk joined Joey Tessitore and Ray Bader on commentary to see who his opponent would be at Saturday night's main event. Through all the eliminations and all the other good stuff, we were down to Jimmy Uso, LA Knight, Dirty Diamond Mysterio, and Jey Uso to see who wants to go to Saturday Night's main event for a shot at the vacant world championship. And man, Jimmy and LA Knight, they was eliminated by Jey Uso. So yes, Jey Uso eliminated his own brother, Jimmy. And then there was Jimmy Uso and Dirty Dominic Mysterio. Dominic got eliminated. So it is Jey Uso, yeet, versus the second CD Saint, CM Punk, at Saturday Night's main event for the vacant world championship. I'll get to my predictions later because that's how we're all ending. Let's go to SmackDown, and this is where Beanie's old question from earlier comes to the play. We kicked off SmackDown with Cody Rhodes opening the show, per usual. Him and Drew McIntyre have some more words as they get ready for their match at Saturday Night's main event. As a fight was about to happen between Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre, that turned into Drew McIntyre and Jimmy Uso going at each other. Yes, Jimmy's on both shows because Drew McIntyre implied that it was Jimmy who attacked Jacob Fatu. The reason why Jacob Fatu is not going to Saturday Night's main event to face Cody Rhodes, and instead it's Drew McIntyre. So we have Jimmy fighting the Vision and having an inner fight with his brother Jey Uso on Raw. We go to SmackDown and we are implying, thanks to Drew McIntyre, that Jimmy is the reason why Jacob Fatu isn't in the main event picture. How do y'all feel about that? Basically, WWE is having us think that Jimmy is involved in three separate incidences here. What's going on between him and his brother Jay? And then in their fight with Division. And now we're saying Jimmy is the reason why Jacob Fatu is not a part of the championship picture. What are y'all thoughts? My sister said it doesn't make sense. Benny, cool. Y'all got any thoughts on this one? Because we putting Jimmy in different scenarios all of a sudden. Now, the miss, we don't know how long we're going to have Jimmy around because we do know Naomi's pregnant. So at some point in time, Jimmy got to step away from the business for quite some time to help, you know, raise a child. But we just dropping Jimmy and all kinds of stuff here. But while y'all ponder that, speaking of the family and the bloodline, Ben Matisse took on Ray Phillips and Shinsuke Nakamura. Shinsuke is a face now? When did that happen? Oh, Benny said Jimmy is up to something. If he is, we don't know what it is, because Raw looks good. Trying to get right, trying to get his brother head right, and then trying to take on the Vision. On SmackDown, Drew McIntyre out here saying, hey, I didn't take out Jacob Fatu. Jimmy took out Jacob Fatu. So Beanie said, jealousy is a, y'all can feel that. Y'all can put in whatever word you want to put. Whatever word you want to put behind A, go for it. That's what Beanie did. Beanie said, jealousy is A. Which means y'all can feel like whatever word y'all want to put to it. But back to the MITs versus, hey, cool. When did Shinsuke become a face? Did I miss something here when Shinsuke became a face again? I don't remember him being the face. Actually, I don't even remember him being a heel. I just remember him being non-existent, to be honest. But he teams up with Ray Phoenix against the MFTs, being Tama Tonga and JC Mateo. Of course, you know who won the MFTs one because it's like five of them and just Phoenix and Michael Moore by themselves, so. You know, it is what it is at that point. You like Jimmy better as a heel? Who you like better as a heel, Benny? I want to be. Cool said, Drew is a scumbag. I love it. But Drew says he always tells the truth no matter what happens. He tells the truth. So is he saying that Jimmy actually attacked Jacob Fatu? You know, Drew McIntyre, is he? He likes to tell the truth. He says people don't like hearing the truth. So I don't know. It's an interesting thing. He liked this Shinsuke better as a heel. I don't remember him turning the face, so I'm still confused by that. Afterwards, Benny, this is where your question comes in at. When Dolph Nakamura comes back to the Jedi. Really? He gonna put a Star Wars reference into it. I see. You put a Star Wars reference into it. That's crazy. All right. This is what Benny put in the chat earlier. I was on Raw and not SmackDown, but I'm here on SmackDown. This is where I'm at. Is Tiffany time over? Is it Jade's time yet? So, Kiana James went up against Tiffany Stratton in a non-title match. And of course, Tiffany Stratton won, of course. Afterwards, the Women's United States Champion Julia went on the attack. And then Jade Cargill made the save. After the save was made, and this is what had put SmackDown on the map for the Pat Flow for the weekend. Jay Cargill attacked Tiffany Stratton. Not just attack her, beat her down. Beat her good. Give her a nice beating. Beating that Tiffany won't forget me anytime soon. With the scar on her eyebrow, Jay Cargill had that look and a look. And this is about everybody on social media who does recording and talks wrestling religiously. All love the fact that Jay Cargill did this. They are happy that we are getting a heel Jay Cargill. Now, my question to my co-host, and anybody who's in chat, my sister Benny, if y'all want to answer it. Does this really make her a heel? Or this is just Jay Cargill saying, my time is now. Oh, she whooped that trick. Oh, she definitely whooped that trick. Oh, she gave it to her. She beat her down. So, because a lot of people are saying this is the Jay Cargill we need at this moment in time. They're saying WWE put the trigger at the right time. This is, we need a heel Jay Cargill. Cool. My co says her time is now. Benny says a heel, in my opinion. My sister said, I guess she's supposed to be heel. Now, if they're going in the direction that I want them to go in, she's a heel. Because if this is the direction that they're going in, cool. You know who's coming back. And it's been rumored that she could be back for the road to WrestleMania. And if she's back for the road to WrestleMania, you know what match I'm looking forward to. My sister, my sister know who I'm talking about too. So, if this is what it is, WWE, Triple H, I think you finally said it was time. That's me and my sister. We both love her. And Cool saying the song, I never needed you at all. We're talking about Bianca Belair. So if that's the case and this is why this is happening, WrestleMania could see Bianca Belair versus Jade. Like, Yolanda, I know how you feel about both of them. But Cool and I can both tell you, as soon as brought Jade to WWE, that's one of the first matches we was looking forward to. When are we going to get them two in a WrestleMania? Hopefully a main event at that as well. Main event he met WrestleMania, because it's going, like you said, take my mother loving money. I'm going to tell you this right now. Soon as they brought Jade, I'm waiting for her and Breaker and Brielle to go at it. I'm waiting on Jade and Charlotte Flair to go at it. Okay? Them really the two matches I'm waiting for. I've been waiting for this. I might get Bianca Belair and Jade this next year in 2026, and I'm here for it. I've been waiting on it. It was a matter of time. Jade decided it's now. All right. Quickly, let me go through the rest of this real quickly. The United States Open trying to continue, even though Ilya Dragunov won the title with Sami Zayn the previous week. He continued with Aleister Black. That's up to the challenge with the right Zelina Vega by his side. Damian Priest is back with a vengeance. Ilya Dragunov defeats Black. Damian Priest is not done with Aleister Black, so we have more on the meats and bones between Aleister Black and Damian Priest. Jimmy Uso took on Drew McIntyre to settle their differences of what took place with Jacob Fatu. Great match. Good match. Both guys are good at their crafts. A Claymore later, and Drew McIntyre defeats Jimmy Uso. Of course, you have to defeat him because you don't want to fight for the Universal title, not Jimmy Uso, so it won't make no sense for you to lose going into Saturday Night's Main Event. And that's how SmackDown ended. Speaking of Saturday Night's Main Event, right now we have three matches on the card. We have the Undisputed WWE Championship with Cody Rhodes defending against Drew McIntyre. I like Cody Rhodes in this one. I like Cody Rhodes to retain it. I think Cody Rhodes is probably going to retain it all the way to WrestleMania, in my honest opinion. Who he fights at WrestleMania would be determined at the Royal Rumble, in my opinion. And then I'll go from there to see if he's going to lose that match at WrestleMania or not. WWE Women's Championship match between Tiffany Stratton and Jade Cargill. Tiffany, you had a great run. You had a good run as women's champion, but I think the storm has arrived. I don't want to hear the storm is coming. The storm has arrived. The storm is taking the title at Saturday Night's Main Event. And we get to see a heel Jade on the road to WrestleMania. And hopefully I get my WrestleMania match. I am taking Jade Cargill to win her first singles title in WWE. And then that leaves the vacant World Heavyweight Championship between CM Punk and Jey Uso. I can yeet all day, but I'm going with the second scene to say I'm going CM Punk for the win. I got CM Punk winning this one. Cool McCain, he has Cody Rhodes winning. Matter of fact, he pretty much agrees with me in all three. Cody Rhodes, Jay Cargill, who he called Thundercakes, and Peanut Butterfield. He's taking CM Punk, okay? So that's how I'm seeing it. That's how I'm feeling with Saturday's Main Event. I do believe we should add one more match in here somewhere, preferably the Intercontinental Championship match between Dirty Dominic Mysterio, Rusev, and Penta. Let's go ahead and get that out the way, if you don't mind. Just go ahead and get that match out the way. Whoever wins, wins, and we just move forward. You're going to have a triple threat match. It is coming. We can see it from a mile away. Just get it over with. Beanie says, you already know that Punk winning that belt. Yes, Punk winning that. Yes, it got to be Punk. Man, we love Eden. We love Jay. But come on. It's got to be Punk. It's got to be Punk. And let's get on the road to Survivor Series because we have some war games to get ready for. Which, by the way, brings up a very interesting thing with Jay Cargill down that sheet. With people saying she's ill. What women's match we going to have for War Games? That's what I'm looking forward to. I got a feeling the men's might feature the Vision at some capacity and some bloodline people. But I'm going to see that. Jay's going to get it through, just not yet. So Jay's going to win it back. It just won't be a Saturday Night Main Event. Okay. All right, it is 8 o'clock. We hit the top of the hour. Thank y'all for tuning in on this edition of Monarchs of Wrestling, episode 105. Shout out to Shady Sports Network for putting us on. Shout out to the Real Rise Radio, which we are live on as well. Shout out to everybody watching. Shout out to the Playmakers Blog Network also as well. Next week, we'll be back. We'll see the fallout from Saturday's Night Main Event. What are our reactions for myself and Kuma Kane? Did anything interesting take place in the fallout from Halloween Havoc on Tuesday? What TNA had to offer this week? What did AEW had to offer this week? And then once we do it, that our roads are leading to Full Gear, which is the 22nd of November. And then the week after that, on the 29th, it will be Survivor Series out in San Diego. I am the playmaker for my co-host, Kuma Kane, who's in the back producing the show as he's still dealing with some sickness. We'll catch y'all next week for more Monarchs of Wrestling.